All right. I'd like to call to order the Barberton Board of Health. Today is Wednesday, February 25th, 2026, approximately 4:30 p.m. in council chambers. Only two members are present, myself and Sandy Baker. And then we have James, who is our liaison between the City of Barberton Board of Health and Summit County Board of Health. So it's been determined that there is no quorum, but we do not have anything to vote on today. So if it's okay with you guys, I'd still like to go through the agenda and go through some of the updates. Okay? So James, if you want to...
I'd just like to thank you, Mr. Mayor, for appointing me to this position. I'm recently retired, 2 years, and I'm a former member of the Magic City Kiwanis, and I was thinking, well, maybe I should get back into Kiwanis. I have time now that I'm retired and such. But just really haven't done anything. Then Mary, the previous representative, Mary Jo, contacted me and asked if I might be interested in the position she was going to be retiring from. And I said, well, you know, as a matter of fact, yeah, I would, because I want to do something. I'm a Barberton person, grew up in Barberton. My mentor for Kiwanis was Robert Frucci. We were backyard to backyard neighbors. And he was very philosophical. And he says, you know, he says, sure, everybody takes care of their own property. And you keep the city up. He said, but you have to go a step beyond that. You have to help take care of the city, because that's what makes our city as good, you know, good as it is. And I kind of adopted that philosophy, and that's why I enjoyed being in Kiwanis for the years that I was. And I thought, well, now that I'm retired, I should do something to get re-involved. And then Mary Jo approached me, so I told her, I said, well, as a matter of fact, yeah, I would enjoy that, because it's a good niche type position, and I'm going to have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go for breakfast. So I thought, well, yes, as a matter of fact, I think I could enjoy this. So I appreciate that she recommended me to you, and that you chose to have me accept this position. So I'm glad for that. With the board, the January meeting was my first meeting I went to. Flew by very fast. I didn't really comprehend much of anything. Then for this month's meeting, I had my onboarding starting in the afternoon, 2:30, Dan Courant from the Norton representative. He was the moderator for the orientation. And then each representative from the different facets of the Summit County Board came in and explained to us, there was myself and Talmadge has a new representative as well. So the two of us, and they explained, you know, the functions of the Summit County Health Board and all the services that they offer, which they offer a lot. I'm really surprised everything that goes on, you know, through the health board. So I had the orientation, and then we had the meeting that we had. We voted on two variances for two parcels in Coventry. They were remodeling their septic systems, replacing the current septic systems, and they need variances, so those were approved. And that was really about it, the things that we voted on. And then the meeting came to an end, and I have yet to be appointed to a committee within the Summit County Board. Dan suggested that the other representative and I, we talked to the chairman of the council and have her appoint us to, you know, boards that we think we would be interested in, or, you know, see what, you know, where our help is needed. So other than that, we have another meeting coming up pretty quick. And it's the second Thursday of the month, so that'll be here before we know it in March.
Okay. Well, thank you, and thank you for your service and stepping up. You know, there's times when it's very difficult to find board members, because the first question is always, how much do I get paid? The second obstacle is finding the right board member.
Yeah. Well, so. And going back to how much do I get paid, one thing I do remember from the January meeting is we voted not to get paid. So that was almost like the first order of business in the January meeting was to forego any stipend for, you know, meeting attendance.
Yeah.
And everybody else voted yes, so I voted yes as well, because I'm okay, I'm not going to.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your service, and thank you for all your service at Barberton Hospital as well.
Oh, you're welcome. I tell you, I'm not going to say, but like I own that department, because I live on Baird, just one block down, and I would take my dog walking through the park, and finally when there was a hole in the fence when they were building Parkview Center, My dog and I, we'd crawl through the hole and go walking around the building to see how it's progressing. And if I did not hire in, I had previous experience at Barberton Hospital, so I knew everybody there. But if I had not hired in, I would have cried every day driving to Akron City, because I was working at Akron City at the time. And Jeanette, she was a supervisor over several departments. I forget her last name. But even right when I first hired in, she was asking, Cape Cod Department was asking some people, how do you get to Barberton? I have to go to Barberton for a meeting. Jeanette Doria. And they said, oh, I asked Jim. He's from Barberton. He'll tell you. So I said, Jeanette, I says, you know, why are you going to Barberton? And she said, well, we're going to talk about radiation oncology, a new oncology unit at Barberton Hospital. And I says, oh, I said, I'll work there. I mean, from the day, I mean, I hadn't been at Akron City for more than 2 months, and I remember telling her, okay, I'll go work at Barberton when they hire. So, and then I was there to help form the department. So it was nice. It got put together kind of like how I wanted to run it. It was very nice.
Yeah.
It was like a second home, really. When we had thunderstorms, like we have a lot of electrical equipment, and if it goes down, you don't want to come in Monday morning and find a down machine, and then it takes another 2 hours to bring it back up because it was like crashed theoretically, you know, because of electric loss. So I'd go in on Sunday nights and bring everything back up again, you know, if there was a problem from thunderstorms and lightning, and because, you know, we had no generators in Parkview. So if somebody hit the telephone pole out there on Tusk and Fifth Street and the light goes out, we went out. So there's always, you know, the touch and go type stuff with the electricity there. But it was like a second home.
Well, I know that it was, because I grew up in that neighborhood too, that it was a huge fight to sell the 8 acres of the park.
Yes, yeah.
And I get the importance of green space, and I cherish that, but I thought that they did a great job with that oncology department making the best use of the, uh-huh. the helicopter pad and everything as well.
Well, at that time, I was in the Oakdale PTA, and I was president, actually, around those years. And really, the PTA supported the sale because the foundation would then fund a new high school. So, I mean, the PTA's pushed for, you know, for the sale at that time.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yep. Well, thank you very much. So just a few updates. We are still having our Lake Anna Park grant. We received $1 million out of Congresswoman Amelia Sykes' office. We have 8 years approximately to spend the money. So it's only for the visitor center, not for the rest of the park. So $1 million doesn't get you much these days. So we have had public surveys, public meetings, and outreach to see what we need and what we want. So those are continuing. We are also will be working on a new strategic master plan for the city. And so we're kind of like, since we have time to use this money, let's kind of wait and fold in that, the visitor center, with the master plan for the city.
And when you speak of visitor center, are you speaking of something new or something where the visitor center corner is?
What we've thought of, same corner, but something new.
Mm-hmm.
So currently the restrooms are on the ground level of the lake. So you have grinder pumps to have the sewage go up to the street level. They always get plugged and backed up. So moving bathrooms up, putting some type of multi-purpose room there so you can have events there instead of that one cone-shaped building that doesn't get used much.
Right.
Having something that's a little bigger that you could get 50 to 75 people in to have events. And make it more usable throughout the entire year. So we're looking at all those different types of things.
And with the Elk Center across the street, I mean, is that a tie-in at all?
We had actually looked at that, but it's my understanding that there's a private business that is looking to buy that
and
put in a restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's better use when it's a private venture.
Yeah.
Well, this money, this started a few years ago, though, didn't it?
Yes.
So when is this 8 years... When does that come up?
We're like probably 20? We probably have another 6 or 7 years left.
Okay.
So, we also have a fund at the foundation. I believe it's titled the Lake Anna Preservation Fund, that can be used for infrastructure updates at Lake Anna. So we want to do a capital campaign, so businesses and residents can donate to that, get a tax deduction since it's at the foundation. And then we can turn that $1 million into $2 or $3 or $4 million.
Mm-hmm.
So the nice thing is Lake Anna is not a political issue. It's something that I think everyone can get behind.
Yeah.
And whenever I the surveys we did at Lake Anna of people that walk around the lake and utilize the lake, the vast majority of them are not Barberton residents.
Oh, is that right?
They come here, they drive in, they don't work in Barberton, don't live in Barberton, they come to Barberton for Lake Anna.
Huh.
So, the original roundabout, I call it.
Yeah, right? Well, you're right. Yeah. I proposed to my wife, you know where the gazebo is now? Before there was a gazebo, there were just picnic tables. And we used to always end our dates down at the lake, walk around the lake. So when it was time to propose, a friend of mine set up tablecloth and picnic basket and champagne and everything. And I proposed around that corner where the,
nice.
Where the gazebo. So now I told my kids, I said, they built this because to memorialize where I proposed to your mom. So, but yeah, Lake Anna, it is a draw. It certainly is.
Yeah. Sidewalk grant, we utilized $700,000 last year for sidewalks on North Van Buren, East Park, and Castle. So we went as far as we could with the federal grants. And the federal grants, there's all these ifs, ands, or buts. You know, can only be used in this area or for low to moderate income properties or what have you. So that's why we kind of stopped where we did on Van Buren. So we utilized that. We did apply for OPWC. These are state funds for new water lines on 14th, 16th, and 19th Street from Worcester Road West to Shannon Avenue, and for replacing some concrete on various concrete streets. I believe this is over on the far west side and the Columbia Heights area. So we're waiting to hear about that. Last year, we did receive the same fund from the same funding source. At least 50% or 75% of the cost for new water lines on Frank Street on the south end of town, Wisteria in Austin Estates, and 5th Street downtown here. So that's, they just finished 5th Street up, and then also Stratford Avenue in Columbia Heights, which started, I believe, in January.
That's Stratford going on right now?
Yes. Yep. So those streets that have not been repaved after the new water lines will be repaved this year. Elmwood Avenue over on the north end, we received money for a new water line the other year, and so we believe that's going to move forward this year. So every year we apply for OPWC funds, and so their money cannot go for asphalt streets. It has to go for something that has a longer useful life. So water lines have a long useful life. Concrete streets have a long useful life. We did a lot of concrete streets in the Austin Estates area. They may not have replaced the entire street, but they replaced the bad sections.
Yeah.
So we turn our $500,000 into $1 million and our $750,000 into, you know, so it doubles. Mm-hmm. So we apply in July, August time period, and then they let us know any day now. And so then you have about a year, 2 years to use the money. So we're working now on engineering for this year's applications. We'll apply and then we'll start working for 2028's applications and doing that engineering. So the more engineering you have done, the better your points are. So it's very competitive. So.
Oh, that's
good. Good. You ready? City Justice Center project. So we just received $1,039,000 for the Justice Center technology through Congresswoman Sykes' office. So this building was built in 52. In 1958, they were looking at a new facility. So most of these interior walls are 10 inches of concrete. So you didn't have the internet back then. So trying to drill through for internet wire, hotspots aren't very functional. You did not have female police officers in 52. So right. Now you do. So we had to put in a makeshift, you know, locker room for female officers. You didn't have the specialized crimes back then that you do today. So drug enforcement, violence against children, sexual crimes, those types of things. You didn't have a full-fledged detective bureau like you do today. The preservation of evidence and record retention was not as big back then as it is now. ADA compliance. If you walk into this building, you're going upstairs or downstairs. So yeah. ADA compliance is a big thing.
You're right. There's nothing on the first floor, really.
Yeah.
There's most nothing. Yeah.
So we purchase the Masonic Temple with hopes of just expanding our footprint here. Mm-hmm. They had an elevator that started on the second floor, kind of like us. You had to walk in, go upstairs to the second floor.
Right.
It was not maintained. The roof, the mechanicals were not maintained like they should have. Unfortunately, we had to tear it down. So the plan calls for this building to have police, law department, clerk of courts, and courts. And then all of my offices will move. Mm-hmm. We will build the entrance on the park will no longer exist. It'll be on Fifth Street. So where the Masonic Temple was, about half of that space, we'll build a new entrance. And it's walk right in, ground level, be security, a receptionist, training room for the officers, and then you can take an elevator up to this room. My offices will move to the former First Merit building.
That's what I was going to ask you.
So we purchased that. Finance department, which has been leasing space in, I can say this because you're from Barberton, the former Great Northern building.
Uh-huh.
And then the parks administration that's over by the YMCA will move over here. So we're talking to the Y. It'll be a one-stop shop over here.
Is the water department still in the Great Northern?
Yes.
Okay.
So that'll move over as well.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. There's the drive-in windows.
Drive-through window. You should be able to pay your utility bill, get a building permit, you know, all those things to the drive-through. The main floor will have those services that are most important to the residents. So you'll have your building department, your utility department, your water department, your income tax. So you can do all those things right there in the drive-through or come in and do it. And then the Active Adult Center will take up the rest of the spot. So they're lifting equipment. They've got a little gym over there, pool tables, craft room, all those things.
Active Adult, that's the Parks Department?
Yes.
Okay, so that's not a YMCA entity.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
So Parks Administration is over there, and they run the Active Adult Center.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. It's part of the park system. Okay.
They're working on the First Merit building now.
No.
Oh, because it seems like we see some people over there.
I mean, there's people over taking measurement of things and kind of looking at things. We're real close to starting construction. We're probably about 8 months away.
Oh, okay.
And then the SWAT, Metro SWAT, has been using it for training.
Oh, okay.
So.
Well, that's good because that building is relatively new. That's a new building compared to everything else downtown. And it's a nice building. It's got, right there, it's got good parking, good accessibility.
What's odd about it?
It's a shame that it's empty. Really, it really is. Yeah.
It was built in the late 70s, early 80s, so it's all electric.
Yeah.
There's no natural gas to it.
Uh-huh.
So
okay.
We want to retrofit that,
uh-huh.
But we think it'll be more usable, more community focused. So youth groups can use it, you know, anybody. I really want it to be a community building.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what's
going so the rest of the offices, like the building commissioner, the utilities director, the service director, my offices will be on the second and third floor, finance and those things.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll give us more room.
Oh, that's the first place where you worked at. Okay.
So it's roughly a $29, $30 million project. So lining up the financing, getting this grant of $1 million, it really helps offset everything. So we're very excited about it. We've got plans upon plans upon plans that were done in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s.
Uh-huh.
So the need has been there. And we've had issues show up here, you know, people with weapons or, you know, what have you. When I started as mayor, we didn't have security at the front door. It was just walk right in.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had a lot of issues. Nothing fatal, but...
Yeah. Well, the city building used to be open during the concerts, too.
Yes, for restrooms.
Yep. The use of the restrooms.
Yeah.
So, not anymore, huh?
No. So that's moving forward. Over on the south side of town, just past Lockwood Road, the Trucian Farm housing development is going in. And so they've got most of the infrastructure in, the water and sewer lines, storm water. The curb and gutter in most of it has been poured, so when you go back there, you can see where the cul-de-sacs are going to be and where the road's going to go. So they were planning originally to have a model home up by now, but it hasn't happened. So I'm assuming first of spring they'll start.
Uh-huh.
So about...
Is that the north or south side?
South
or east
side.
Or west side of 619?
They'd be on the west side. So, and it's one of those odd areas where it's in Barberton, but it's in Coventry School District.
Uh-huh.
So. We're putting together the street resurfacing program for 2026. The budget is front of, the 2026 budget is front of, in front of City Council, so they've got by law till the end of March to deliberate and to approve it. It's got to be approved by the end of March. So we're going through weekly presentations in front of City Council.
So then you pick the streets, or the streets pick already?
We go through a pretty exhaustive process. We get feedback from people. Hey, my street's the worst. So throughout the year, yours is not.
I hear yours is just fine. But my street,
ours is
barely.
We did hers. Yeah.
Yeah. The fifth and up is done. Now it would be good to do.
Yeah.
Because I love going up Ford, and then I cut over to Baird. I go up Ford as far as I can.
Yeah.
And then I cut over to Baird, because going up Baird, turn off at Van Buren on Baird. Oh my.
Yeah,
that's like a gravel pit.
So what we do is we bid the contract by tonnage of asphalt. So I'm just going to make up numbers. Let's say it's 50,000 tons, and then we pick the streets based, and then let's say there's going to be 10 streets resurfaced, and then there's about 40 streets that we've priced out that are alternate streets. So if we have money left over at the end, we can just pick automatically some more streets. So we do it by tonnage, because if they're going to take 2 inches off and put 2 inches back on, you can calculate that pretty easily. Because a lot of the streets, if not most of them, were just put on with asphalt on dirt or no solid base. They could grind off 2 inches and find what they call soft spots, where they've got to dig down and build that base up.
Yeah.
So it takes more asphalt, some more tonnage. So, and then we replace the drive apron as well. Drive apron is the responsibility of the property owner, but since we're there and it helps protect the integrity of the street, we might as well improve it if it needs done. So we talk to residents and get feedback from them. We talk to our street department. We talk to our utilities department. So Stratford is a horrible street, but we knew it needed a new water line. So let's not pave it until we get money for the water line. Got the money for the water line, then we'll repave it. So we look at all those things. We do, from time to time, have a company come in and rate our streets. So we kind of use that rating system. But you always have to throw in some common sense, because the worst street in the city of Barberton could be a dead-end street with no homes on it. Like, we're not going to pave that. Let's spend the money where it's actually needed. So, and then we take recommendations from council as well. So you kind of throw that all in, and your budget is X number of dollars, what can we get? So we're kind of arm wrestling and playing that chess game of what streets are going to get done.
Right, yeah.
So having that alternate list priced out, that we can go, hey, we've got $70,000 left over, we can either not do anything with it, or we can get some more streets done, or partial streets done.
Right.
So
pick some smaller streets.
Yeah.
Get more done, or pick a bigger street and use more money on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Makes sense.
So we're going through that. And then once the budget passes and the streets are, or the budget's put together, we'll go out for public bid, which takes about a month. Get those bids in and then start that process. So, new programs or programs we're continuing to work on for 2026. We have a Barberton Residential Services Relief Program. It's essentially the same as a homestead exemption run through the county. Theirs is for property taxes if you meet the criteria. Ours is for on your utility bill getting a small deduction. So it goes off of income and in some cases a disability, things like that. So I can get you more information if you like, but we want to get people signed up for it. And our application mirrors the county. So if you qualify for ours, you automatically qualify for the county's. You still have to fill out their application, but so with property taxes going up, utility bills, and all these things, if we can help save residents money, we will. So, we have a smoke detector program. So through our fire department, they'll come in and install it. So want to keep that moving forward. We charge rentals. We charge $200 per rental per year. And that goes for inspecting the rentals, cleaning up the neighborhoods. And some of that money is set aside so landlords can go get a CO detector for their rental. So Case in point, I picked up my son. We're coming down West Hoppakin just now. There's a whole house clean out right by the Sokol Center. It is bad. And so sent an email to our inspectors, but they got off at 4:30 to go up there and ticket it. I mean, the wind's blowing around. It's going to blow all that trash everywhere. And the landlord is responsible. If they don't clean it up in 24 hours or 48 hours, we'll go do it, but then we're going to charge them back. So that's why, you know, we have these high fees. Back in the 90s, they had a barber and beautification department. So we still have a barber and beautification fund. And it goes to the parks and things like that. I want to bring back the department to paint over graffiti, pick up shopping carts that are left by people taking them out of the shopping areas, pick up debris on the side of the road, tires, bumpers, trash. Plant more flowers, maintain the flower gardens. So we're working on that, putting that together. So we are coming out with an anti-graffiti, anti-litter campaign this spring as well. So hey, report it. Our people will go out there right now and paint over it and take care of this. We used to work with Reworks, those kind of the Summit County recycling area. They're up in Stowe, and they would from time to time would have different programs to go out in the community. So they used to have a paint program where you could drop off for free old paint cans and they would recycle it. Then that went away. They had tires. You could drop off old tires. That went away. They used to do a shredding day here in town. Drop off documents. They'd shred it right on spot. It's free. That went away.
The city paid into this?
No.
They offered it free to the city.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And so they did away with all this. The shredding is one. We've done tire collections, and we do the bulk drop-off in the spring as well for residents. You can drop off pretty much almost anything. Mm-hmm. The shredding is one that we feel that we can pull off ourselves this year. So we've checked pricing. We've done these things. So we haven't announced a date yet. We're still working on that. But we're going to have a shredding day for documents for Barbara and residents. So... Mm-hmm. We feel we can do that. So, and that's pretty much it. Just a lot going on, but not much is moving until the budget's passed. Mm-hmm. So we have four new council members. So kind of explaining what fund accounting is and how it works. It's not the easiest. So kind of walking through the steps instead of moving faster. So a lot going on.
Well, these things that you were just... speaking of at the end here, and especially like the shredding days and stuff, it's good that we have a Barberton, still have a Barberton newspaper, because that's where you see these kind of things. You don't see the Beacon Journal. I mean, or if you even still get the Beacon Journal. Yeah. I mean, it's nice to have a Barberton paper, because and I think they are good about putting this kind of stuff in, too.
Yeah. I met with them last week, and they want to get more involved in... reporting the stories of Barberton. You know, things on Facebook may not be accurate, may not be truthful. And the news on Facebook moves so quickly, right? Yeah. Every few seconds there's new stuff, right?
And you can't go back and revisit it.
Right.
It's gone. So if you didn't read it right down the first time.
So we'll post things on our social media accounts, but we'll also put it in the paper as well. And we used to have a beat reporter for Barberton from the Beacon Journal, and they've cut back much.
And you might know one of my daughters, or both of them. My older daughter, Emily, she was a desk clerk at the Barberton Herald for many years before Temple got that position. And then my daughter, Sophia, she covered the school board for the Barberton Herald. She was a reporter. But then also, she worked for
FSM. FSM.
FSM, yes. And she had the city of Barberton as one of her clients. So yes,
I do remember her because she put together a program, and she did one in Tusk Park where it was a sign.
Yes, her and a friend did these signs. You could scan it. And they made that book, and that was her.
So I remember because she did one at Lake Anna. She did one over by the high school, middle school area, Tusk Park, and a few others.
The people could, you know, do that QR, QPC, and then add their comments about why they're there and what they think about Barberton and stuff. That was a nice project. It's surprising what your kids can do. Wait till he grows up. You know, you don't know.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they grow up with this stuff. right?
Right, yeah, yeah.
So I keep, you know, kind of joking, our new IT person, our next one is going to be 12 years old. Because they know this stuff more than...
Yeah. Yep.
So...
Yeah.
But a lot of good things happening. You know, the problem is you can't replace enough water lines to satisfy everyone at one time. You can't pave enough roads to satisfy everyone at one time. And, you know, not beating up on other administrations, it's just funding has changed over the years, needs have changed over the years, expectations have changed over the years. And so we're trying to hit all these things, and it's just, it's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Our dam, the dam project, that dam over
at the
there,
reservoir.
Yep. It's not a dam that you can open and close. It just gets to a certain level and spills over. Well, it's a 1920s dam, maybe before that, and you can walk through it. It's hollow. Well, to build a new dam's got to be $50 to $70 million. I don't know.
Yeah.
We've been working with the EPA, and for about $11 million, we can fill it and make it solid. Fill it with some concrete or slurry. That's still $11 million. And everything we do here is... on the backs of taxpayers, right?
Yeah.
But we feel we've been working with EPA, FEMA, and all that. We feel we've got the entire $11 million, or at least most of it, covered with grants and loans. So therefore, it doesn't fall on the customer here in Barberton.
Well,
so.
See, if it's not reinforced, well, it's going to age, then it's going to crack, and then it's going to start leaking.
Yeah.
And then, so, I mean, you have to. I mean, you can't not.
Well, and if you look at the sewer bills in Akron, skyrocketed because they had a combined system of sewer and stormwater, and they had to fix it. Well, you know, residents pay for everything. You know, it's taxes, utility bills, all that. I mean, but, and, you know, lead pipes, things like that. We feel that we stand very good at not having too many lead pipes for water service. And so... we're still checking that, and we're getting surveys back from residents to check their own pipes and things like that. But there's all these different things that we've got going on.
Yeah, I got one of those letters. I had mine replaced from the street to the house.
Okay.
But I think he sent it in already, so I have to just find what I sent in and resend it or something.
Well, that's a mandate from the EPA,
like
too.
2 years ago.
Yeah. So the EPA mandates that we do that, but, like, if it doesn't happen because we can't force you to do it.
Right.
Do we go in and take photos and do it ourselves if you let us in your house? But what if, what's the penalty if we don't comply? We're trying, right? So it's just, there's a lot of unfunded mandates from the feds, which I get, you know, it's. That's all we have for today. Next meeting's scheduled for Wednesday, March 25th. So, I won't ask for a motion to adjourn because we don't have a quorum. So, but wanting to thank you again for being a part of the board and for all your input. And
you're welcome.
So,
well, again, thank you for appointing me to the county. I'll enjoy it.
Well, there's a lot going on. You know, you think about the sicknesses, you know, influenza, you think about COVID still, you think, I send out the,
One of the things they spoke about the orientation was how they get this data, and you know, through wastewater. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I know during COVID, you know, I'd heard that they were, you know, pinpointing population areas where COVID was excessive and whatnot, and they're using the same, you know, just refining it and dividing, you know, fine tuning it and coming up with all this data too. That's pretty neat.
So, a lot of information they collect.
Oh yeah.
All right, well, I will close this meeting at approximately 5:06.